it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome to the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Coming to you live from our studios here in West Loop, downtown Chicago. I'm Peck, Bulls underscore Peck. My guy, Big Dave, bam, bam, BAWL Sports. Our friend and producer on the controls, Miss Sarah. What's up, Sarah?
Bull down.
Oh, all right. Low key, monotone, chill.
Bull down.
Just being smooth.
Double hoops. You said you were just doing the Sky Show earlier today.
Yeah, follow CHGO underscore Sky. Angel Reese is on our team.
I love
that's
it.
True. That's the truth.
Love it.
How excited were you when all those picks went down?
I was so excited. Yeah, I've been following women's basketball for 2 years now. Honestly, mostly because of Caitlin Clark last year, and then I started learning more about players and whatnot. But yes. Yeah, I love women's basketball. I love what is happening. And I'm going to go.
I know you're a huge Caitlin Clark fan, so.
I'm not huge, but I love her, and I think she's created me to now know more about players.
That's kind of cute.
I don't know if she necessarily
she influenced me as anything.
I mean, she doesn't deserve all the credit because there have been so many other awesome characters in that women's tournament.
Though,
but like,
she definitely
those ratings for the women's tournament.
It was because of
last
month.
Yeah.
No, nobody's naive to it.
Yeah.
It's why she got the check from Nike.
Yeah, I wasn't watching the men's March Madness. I checked out when KU lost. I mean, that's all. I was done. But I was very into the women's March Madness. They did great.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, and this guy now have two of the biggest characters from women's March Madness.
It's true.
It's amazing.
Are you an Indiana Fever fan now?
I don't know really anything about them, but I'll tell you what, I will be watching them because of Caitlin Clark.
Wrong answer. The answer is no.
No.
That is
no.
I don't know,
you're a Sky fan.
Supposed to be no.
I am a Sky fan,
I'm a Sky fan only. Wait,
I think I heard, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but they were talking about doing the Sky Fever games at the UC.
I heard
so they
that.
Can sell more tickets to
I
it.
Heard that.
That would be awesome.
Because those will sell out immediately.
Yeah, as long as that money goes to the Sky and those players, and not you-know-who.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just saying.
Here we go.
He don't deserve that money.
Wait, how did I get caught off guard? What did I do?
I think they were referring to your surprise at Sarah's response.
Oh.
Maybe I don't think I was off guard.
You were just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just always on point.
TR, talk about the Chicago Bulls. We will. Hold your horses.
I'm shocked you don't have socks on, though, Sarah. That is surprising.
It's hot. It was too warm. I needed my ankles to breathe.
Fair enough.
It's like truly hot.
Yeah.
It's like too hot for a t-shirt hot.
Yeah. That's why I don't wear socks. Ever.
Hello.
Unless it's wintertime.
He's got the dogs out.
Foot prisons.
The Burke man.
I heard a jingle, so I think actually our friend the goat is going to be joining us here momentarily.
He is?
Yeah. We can have him tell the story of why he's not here right now.
Oh, yeah. Let him tell it.
Go Talk Hotline?
Taking it to the streets.
Unscheduled Go Talk Hotline? What's up, buddy?
I'm such a dumbass.
What happened?
Okay, so I got in my car to drive down to our studio, and I accidentally locked the door, because it's like muscle memory. When you leave the house, you lock the door.
Sure.
My girlfriend was sitting on our back porch doing some work.
Shout out.
And I locked the door, and so she couldn't get back in the house. So she had somewhere to be at 5. I needed to get back here to let her back in. So she had, she was able to get all of her stuff. And then I just sat in the car for an hour while I drove to the studio and then all the way back. And now I'm back here. So thank you guys for bearing with me. I apologize about my dumbassery.
Dumbassery.
Well done.
Not quite as useful as point guardsmanship, but also fun to say.
We have some dumbassery point guardsmanship at times.
Sometimes it happens that way, but it's okay, Goat. You're here. The quaff is on point. It's all good, brother. You're around, so everything's cool.
We are going to kick off our player grades today. We're going to start with DeMar.
Yes.
We're also going to talk a little bit about the latest updates and speculations on what Bulls and DeMar are talking about. as far as this offseason, his impending free agency. We'll also touch on some of the latest goings on across the NBA playoffs. Last night, two more series came to an end last night.
Yeah.
Shout out to LeBron and the Lakers, who are donezo.
And shout out to all three of us, because we all got every game right. Want to point that out. Shout out to all of us.
It's almost like we watch a lot of basketball.
What was that? No, we're just dumb friends.
I mean, you know, sometimes we're wrong about stuff.
Sure. Few and far between. But yes.
I'm mostly wrong.
You had the Suns in seven, didn't you?
Yeah, don't feel great about that one.
Almost, Will. Almost.
There's still time. Huh?
It's your West Coast bias, man. That's got to be it.
It's all right. I have Milwaukee going.
I mean, you know, you're supposed to bet on talent, and that just sometimes does not go well.
Yeah.
Sometimes don't go well.
That's what I did when I bet on Minnesota. I gave the Suns two games in that series, and they couldn't manage that.
I don't think I did. I think I gave them five. I think I said Wolves in five.
All right. So before we dive into DeMar grades, I did want to touch on just some happy stuff, because I did not realize this until both of them came across my timeline today. April 30th is the anniversary of two different iconic moments of when the Bulls were actually a team that played in the playoffs.
That is true.
1991, mm-hmm. 33 years ago, mm-hmm. was MJ's baseline dunk on Ewing, mm-hmm. in the first round against the Knicks. Iconic.
Where were you, Sarah, for that game?
What?
April 30th, 1991. Where were you?
Not even a thought.
What about you, Go? Where were you late April 91?
I was unborn.
But a thought. He was a thought.
He was a maybe. He was a...
My parents didn't even know that each other existed.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Dave?
What was I doing? I probably was in I was in grade school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in grade school for sure. But I remember that play. It was an awesome play. What a time.
Man.
What a time.
I feel fake lucky. Out on Oakley.
Yeah. I feel so lucky every time I think about it, man. Dude, I got to see the greatest
all the time. Truly iconic. Fast forward a decade and change. April 30th, 2009.
Ah.
Joakim Steele on Paul Pierce, coast-to-coast dunk, and one.
Classic.
For a triple OT win to force Game 7.
Yeah.
Also, April 30th.
One of my favorite Bulls moments of all time. I put it up against so many things.
That's why I was going to ask. It seems like heresy to even suggest this, but which is more iconic among Bulls fans? Mm. That Jordan baseline dunk? Or the Joakim Steele dunk?
Well, one sec, because Shirtless Wonder's putting a shirt out on the ledge.
Oh, my God! Hey! Shout out, dude, okay. So, Kev was out on the East Coast last weekend for a set of Umphrey's concerts,
Kev.
And he said he found this shirt, and it's for you. It's a present for you, Peck, and I'm going to bring it home with me.
Okay.
He just hung it up off his balcony across the alley. It's a shirt that just says, LeBron is a douche.
The wonder, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, the shirtless wonder. The gift that keeps on giving.
Man is a true hero.
Main man, shirtless
wonder. And he showed me a picture of it. I was like, yo, this is an amazing item. You got to keep this for yourself. Yeah. And he was like, I saw it and I was like, Peck has to have this.
Huh?
I don't know why it's green.
I don't know why it's green either. Maybe he was anything to do with Boston?
It's probably a Celtic shirt.
Celtic shirt, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
I don't know if I can wear that. Maybe I'll just dye it red.
Some tells me you'll put it on. Some tells me you will put that. There it is, Sarah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Good doing work, Sarah.
Doing work.
Great work, Shirtless Wonder.
Well done. Well done.
Wow.
LeBron is, man.
Well, now I have my new St. Patrick's shirt for next year.
There you are.
I'll wear it over my green CHGO shirt.
This is right. You will be ready to go. You will be ready to go. Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry. Joakim Noah, 2009. Right. Amazing moment.
Which one? If you could only have one as a Bulls fan between Jordan's baseline dunk over Ewing or Joakim's coast-to-coast and one dunk.
Probably the Joakim dunk. Because of what it meant, and it hit every single emotion in that time. Because you remember that was game 6 of that series and everything was going so back and forth. and it was just a perfect setup. The steal, the coast-to-coast, the dunk, the and one, the Paul Pierce getting put out, the Doc Rivers putting his hands on his knees and looking down at the ground, and then Joakim Noah completing it with the and one hitting the free throw.
Dude, the Doc reaction adds so much to that. Yeah. I don't know why it does, but it does.
Yeah, and nothing to take it away from the Jordan dunk, because I remember it well. I remember Marv Albert saying, oh, what a move by Jordan. Like, yeah. I remember everything about it and how disrespectful that dunk was. But that Joakim Noah will just really hit every single emotion that I was feeling. Like, it's something you would draw up on a video game, and it played out in real life.
And that was the only one I got. So that's kind of my answer, because I didn't get to see the other one. I mean, I've seen the highlight, obviously, but I haven't seen that moment in real life. So I don't know, man. Like, that Joakim one, it just – I feel like that play more than any other in that series, and that was a series full of just insane plays, but it kind of put the Bulls on the map as far as like a young up-and-coming team who was not going away, who was not going to like get punked by this team that was like, you know, a super team, one of the first teams that like kind of sold out to get three star players together, one of the first big threes in that way. And
game one in Boston.
It was just kind of like – took game one, but it was also just like it kind of laid the foundation for this run that they would have for the next couple of years with their playing at what got to be an MVP level. And that was just such an important, special time to be a Bulls fan. So I think that's my answer too.
It was a peak moment that a younger generation of this fan base thinks of as the good old days.
Yeah, like, great point.
There are some of us who think of Jordan as the good old days.
Yes, they were.
For Bulls fans who are lucky enough to – be young, Joakim and that series, you know, and then you know, like the Baby Bulls sweeping the defending champion Heat a couple years prior to that.
Yeah,
but I mean, man, I'll never forget it. I was watching that. I was that entire Boston Chicago series. It's my last semester of college, and I was watching with a few other people who actually watched NBA basketball at my liberal hippie college.
Correct.
But I was losing my mind when Joakim flushed down that coast-to-coast dunk.
Like, I just remember the feeling that went through my body when it happened, because it was everything you would want on something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was drawn perfectly. It was acted out perfectly and played perfect. Sarah, where were you in 2009?
I was 9 years old, so elementary school.
Elementary school.
What was that, fourth grade, third grade, something like that?
Around there.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably just doing little Sarah things.
Just doing little Sarah things. All right. Shout out to you. All right. Hey, Julia. Andrew, no love for you. You saying you were still a Cavs fan in Erie in 91? How do you do that? How does that work?
Who also said, God damn, I feel old. Maybe that was in reference to 91.
But man, a Cavs fan in Erie?
How do you defect from Cavs to Bulls, especially around that time?
Yeah, in Erie. Like, that's the wild part. Like, man, duh. But shout out to you. You've struggled. You've had some adversity.
That indeed.
Your day, so.
Shout out to our guy Fish, who said Jordan always. Drew is saying same Fish.
Can't be mad at that. Can't be mad at that. Not mad at anybody choose Mike. Like, these are two iconic plays.
Yeah.
I just know the feeling. I'm going with what those plays make me feel. And that Joakim Noah play just made me feel, bro. Like, everything that went through my body. I couldn't even really scream until I wanted to, because everything was perfect. It was a perfect play. It was a perfect play. It's what you see in a movie.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it was a perfect play. What Jordan did, like, you would create a movie about it, and they wouldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That it happened that way. But the Joakim Noah thing, you would see that in a movie in Air Bud, you know what I mean, when they go in the game like that. So,
and I, like, I love the, you that know, play. That Jordan dunk was sort of an exclamation point on a, you know, that back in my day, round ones in the NBA were best of five, not best of seven. So the Bulls won that game at the Garden to sweep 3-0 and move on.
Yeah.
That was their just absolute march to their first championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and I think we were joking about this at Bulls Fest last summer. Like, took one L in game one against the Lakers. Only other team they took a single L against on that play on that postseason run was 76ers.
That was it. I remember that too.
Ewing and the Knicks, three game sweep. Bye.
Peace on out to you, sir. Seven games the next year, six games the next year, all L's.
Yeah.
Drew, the thing about go the ahead, Joakim Will. Dunk was that it was so improbable. Like, that was kind of before he became this like super skilled passing big man. Yeah. It's like, is he really about to dribble up the entire court right. and not turn the ball over and right. actually punch one down on Paul Pierce? Like that was, that just seemed like, okay, of course Jordan is going to like do some insane dunk that's going to like really disrespect someone. But for Joakim to do that at that point in his career just felt like so improbable.
And I mean, like, people talk about how, man, could you imagine Jordan and some of the things that he pulled off on a court if they happened in the day of NBA social media and the immediacy of NBA Twitter?
My God.
Also, like, you could think about that with Joakim.
Yeah.
2009 was still the early days of sports Twitter being a thing where everyone across the world in different time zones is watching the same game and reacting to it in time with one another.
That's a great point. I wasn't even on Twitter.
That, me neither.
So, yeah.
Me, I would not join Twitter until 5 years after that Joakim dunk in 09.
Yeah, man. No, I'm the same way, man. So, yeah. It was hopefully Sarah was not on Twitter either at 9 years old. So, yeah. But, yeah, man. It was a new thing.
Third grade teacher confiscated the phones at the door.
I didn't even have an iPod till I was in fifth grade.
Ooh.
Good.
That's a flex.
Good on you. Good on your folks.
Honestly, that's a flex. I don't even think you know it. So shout out to you.
I'm going
to
make my kids sit at the dinner table and actually eat with the family and not sit on their iPads.
Yes. There you go. Mom.
Coming from Gen Z.
Right before we hopped on to do today's show, I saw a tweet from our guy Kale over in DMVR. Shout out Kale. Talking about like a rule that his school had growing up about like, yeah, teachers would take people, all the students' phones when you walked through the threshold of the classroom and you would get your phone back at the end of class. And I was like, man, we didn't even have cell phones when we were in school.
Well, not, I had handheld video games, man.
Yeah,
all of them,
like a
the
Game
desk.
Boy maybe,
man, underneath the desk going to work. Them Tiger and Tyco, you don't know nothing about that. But
then the secret was when you started to take some of those later high school advanced math classes, you had those TI calculators that had games on them. You're like, I need my calculator for math class. And all the other classes, you were just playing games on your calculator.
Yeah, them calculators didn't help me at all. It was fine. I'm an English guy. I was an English guy.
Okay, well, that was a fun little walk down memory lane. We got to take our first break. We'll come back and then actually for real dive into some DeMar DeRozan season grades talk, as well as what we think will happen with him and the Bulls this offseason. While we are sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube, if you're catching that replay on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe as well to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel if you aren't already. Dave, who's first?
Manscaped.
Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know that one man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men 15 to 35. Now, with April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use the promo code BULLS, B-U-L-L-S, for 20% off and free shipping from manscaped.com. Now, with this in mind, you can perform simple routines, guys. When you're using your awesome Manscaped products, you can check yourself out because 15 to 35, starting young, guys, all right? You might want to check that out. While you're using your Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, you can do two at once. And in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfort and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society, y'all. That is awesome. Help save lives and balls by going to manscaped.com/TCS. and sharing their funny, educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off and free shipping by using that code BULLS. Because as a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your balls, and your chicken.
McCock!
Whoa.
CHGO Bulls Day also brought to you by our friends at Circa Sportsbook, offering those tight money line splits and their low hold model. Always striving to have those starting odds for any game you're betting on, whether it be NBA playoffs or otherwise, at -110 for point total over unders for game spreads. Unlike a lot of other sports books these days, who push those starting odds to -115 or -120 even for no gosh darn reason at all.
Jerks.
Shout out to our friend Law, who tweeted at me last night saying he was stressing guessing watching Nugs Lakers, because that money line that he took was in question until Jamal Murray did Jamal Murray things with that final game-winning shot.
Yeah, should never stress about that.
But Law cashed.
He did.
He had a little bit of stress, shout but he cashed.
Shout out to you, man.
Shout out to Circa, who also don't limit their players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other sports bettors who do limit their winning players, their players on hot streaks. Circa encourages bettors to not only, of course, download and explore their Circa Sports Illinois app, but download and explore and try out any sports betting app that you are curious about these days. They know you have options. They're confident that more often than not, you will find a better user experience, better values, all around better time with Circa. And they know you will find unparalleled customer service. Real people behind that Circa sports brand who resolve any issues you might have in a timely fashion, unlike those other sports bettors who use the dreaded chatbots. Down with AI, the humans shall persevere.
Sarah Kama.
Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circusports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Be on the lookout also for Circa's events, watch parties, and tailgates. Shout out to them for helping out with our super fun, super successful CHGO Bears draft parties last Friday and last Thursday.
Great time.
At Joe's. If you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234 or visit Are You Really Winning?
.com.
All right, y'all. You ready to talk DeMar DeRozan season? Season number three as a Bull for DeMar in the books.
Let's go.
Fish in the comments said, have to say I've enjoyed DeMar's game in Chicago, have been a fan, will always be. It wasn't the outcome anyone wanted. At least we got to see a true master of his craft. A plus plus plus. Some call that a triple plus.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Eric in the comments saying, DeMar's grade, in my opinion, a minus. Well, guys, let's talk about our opinions. The way we've been breaking this down, we've done this in early off seasons past when do our player evaluations, offense, defense, a meathead grade for funsies, and then an overall grade. Let's start with offensively, if you want to throw our report cards up there, Sarah, so we can see what we've got. I believe you guys both, you guys both went with a straight A. I gave him a bit of a dip with an A minus because just efficiency-wise, he fell off a little bit from his wildly efficient first two seasons with the Bulls. Scoring came down a little bit as well. But, I mean, shout out to him. He still put up another 24 points per game and 5 assists per game season. While also playing an NBA high number of total minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, being the number one guy on the team, everybody's after you. Why he gets an A for me and almost an A plus is you know what's coming. You know what's going to happen. You know what he does in his game. Every time he gets it, it's going to be mid-range. It's going to be pump fake city. You're told not to bite for it. You're going to bite for it. He's going to go up and he's going to score, or he's going to get fouled, or he's going to drop step you, go in for the layup. Like, he has so many moves. He also made two of the most incredible passes I've seen this season just by going to the lane and driving. And we were like, how did he even make these passes?
Man.
Like, two of them were great. One was to Ayo. I don't remember that the other one was too, but I remember the passes, though, and how he made them. And I still don't know how he made them. But he was great. You asked him. He did everything he was asked for offensively. We need you to be the man. In the fourth quarter, he's the guy constantly. You know he's getting the ball, and he delivered all the time. You asked him in improving his three-point shooting. Guess what? He did that too. So DeMar DeRozan did every single thing this Bulls team asked of him offensively and what you want out of a star for your team. And, I mean, he thrived at it, and he's been thriving at it since he's been here, Will.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, you look at some of the box score stats, and they did decline over his time with Chicago. I mean, 27.9 points per game in that first year, 24.5 last year, and then 24 this year. You know, assists, 5.3 was high with the Bulls. Rebounds, 4.3, a little bit lower than last year. He shot 48% from the field compared to 50 last year. But he did, to your point, Dave, you know, up that 3-point percentage in terms of volume and in terms of accuracy. So I think all that's kind of splitting hairs, though. For me, like, the reason I gave him an A is this year, I think more than the previous two, I just felt like so much of, if not everything that the Bulls did on offense was a product of DeRozan and the way that he would draw two to the basketball and make plays out of that. It just felt to me that he was in complete control. He was asked to do so much for this team to bring them to the level that they got to. And look, I mean, 39 wins, it's not where any of us were hoping the Bulls would end up this year, but I don't think they are in the 30s with wins without DeRozan. And I think he was that important to the way that this team functioned and to the growth of the young players and Kobe and Io specifically. It just felt like he was everything for this team. And I feel like I said that a couple of different times throughout the season. And I felt like he was always the most important offensive player on this team for all 3 years that he was here. But for some reason, to me, this year, it stood out more just how important and how impactful he was on that end and how just in trouble they would have been without him. And to play 79 games, to lead the league in minutes, to just be a metronome every single night, I just feel like he was absolutely critical to what success the Bulls had, not just this year, but these last 3 years. I mean, they're nowhere close to that level without him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mad respect to him for upping that 3-point attempts per game to like almost three. It was like 2.8,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And keeping it around 33%.
Yeah.
For someone who's never been a 3-point shooter in his career.
Yeah.
You have to respect that. And Will, I also agree with you in the sense that like basically everything the Bulls offense was able to accomplish this season had something to do with DeMar, mm-hmm. whether he was the one dominating the ball or drawing attention so that others, namely Kobe and to a lesser extent Io or whoever else, could thrive with the attention that defenses were giving him. His usage percentage did actually drop by 2 points this season from last season. It went from 27.8 to 25.8. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing or complaining about that, mm-hmm. because if DeMar's usage percentage, I mean, like, he had a usage percentage of 31.8 his first season here.
Wow.
Absurd. And then it went down to 27.8 mm-hmm. in year two, and then in year three, 25.8. I think for Bulls fans who kind of wanted to see other people, especially some of the younger guys, take more of a role, mm-hmm. that is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it was not insane levels of DeMar. Like, he had two of the best, statistically best seasons of his career in 21-22 and 22-23.
Yeah.
This season was not one of the most statistically impressive seasons of his career. It was very, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was A-minus good, not A good.
Yeah, like it was buckets. It was DeMar DeRozan. It's who he is. Go ahead, Will.
I was just going to say, like, you know, you mentioned the usage. I think that's a really good point. But, like, so on the season, I think it was, like, 26-ish. In the month of February, 25.4, in March, 28.2, and then in April, 31.3. So I do feel like as the season went on, he just became more and more important. And like, it's incredible because it was also like what the Bulls are trying to avoid doing. And it still happened because that's how good he is. Like, yeah. The last 3 years, they've been talking about how they can't be so dependent on DeMar to do everything for this offense. And now it just, okay, you try to incorporate a few new things. You try to, you know, move the ball a little bit more. You try to add more of a role for Kobe and for Io and for Patrick Williams in December. Like, you're trying to do all these things to avoid being overly dependent. But like, when push comes to shove and you are playing important games that can have an impact on where you end up in the standings, that can have an impact on your fate in the play-in tournament or making the playoffs, like, you're giving the ball to DeMar and you're letting him cook and you're letting him get up to 31 usage, if not higher. I think there was a stretch where it was like 35, you know, towards the end of the season, that was just kind of playing around with some of the splits. So again, I just feel like he was so important to everything that the Bulls were doing. And that's why I'm just so curious to see what happens with this free agency.
Yeah.
Shifting to his defensive performance. What did you guys both gave him a C. I was a bit harsher. I gave him a D+.
Explain.
Eric in the comments saying, I would give his defense a C+, career high in steals at 90, blocks 45. At least he gave effort on defense. I hear you, Eric, and I think that, yes, at times DeMar gave effort on defense this season. At times. And you are correct in that he had a career high in total steals for a season at 90. He had 83 last season. When I gave him a better grade, I think I maybe gave him a C+ last year, in 300 fewer minutes. So, yes, he improved his previous career high in steals from last season from 83 to 90 this season. So he had 7 more steals in 300 more minutes played. Mm. That's why I'm not that impressed with the new career high in steals. Blocks, 45, that's respectable. His previous career high was 36 last season. So he improved his block total by 9 in, again, 300 more total minutes played. He also, one of the other reasons I gave him a kinder grade on defense last season is because he set and shattered his previous career number in charges drawn.
Yeah.
He did not do that this season. Charges drawn last season was 32, doubling his previous career high, back down to a very pedestrian 15 this season. So, look, we all know that DeMar is an offense first and maybe defense second player. Always has been.
Always has been.
And he has still, as you said, Will, been a largely positive impact player for this team for the last three seasons. This team would have gone nowhere this past three seasons without DeMar DeRozan. But I think statistically, and maybe a little bit age-wise and all of the minutes he put on his legs, focusing on producing points for this team, his defense was kind of the D-plus defense that we've seen from most of DeMar's career.
Go ahead, Will.
I feel like, to me, you know, statistically, he was like a minus 0.6 defensive EPM, which is slightly above average. The team performed minus 0.4 points per 100 possessions better, which is slightly above average. The defense is not really what you're grading DeRozan on. I feel like he has stepped up his game from when he played with San Antonio and even Toronto, where he was just an actively bad defender. I feel like he's about average. And yes, defense is half of the game, but I also think that offense is the more important half of the game. And especially for somebody who's carrying the load that he was on offense, like, I wouldn't expect him to be super impactful on defense, especially for a guy who's 34, 35 years old. Like, you know, you do credit those two-way players. Like, Anthony Edwards stands out because that performance that he just put on against the Suns was masterful on both sides. But I don't feel like that's really what you can kind of expect from DeRozan at this point in his career. I think he's brought his defense up to a level that's passable for me. And so, C is a passing grade, that's where I went.
Yeah, for me, his offense is the defense. And that's just who he is, like, on this team for the Bulls. So I also feel like, Matt, even playing an extra 300-plus minutes in year 15, for me, adds to the actual respect that he actually had these career highs out there. So it wasn't just being out there. I'm actually doing something also with these extra minutes in year 15 of his game, and also being the offensive juggernaut that I have to be. Oh, and also leading the league in total minutes on top of all these things.
Right.
So factoring all that in is kind of why I gave him a C, because for me it's like, dude, I'm not expecting you to be great. I'm not expecting you to even be good. I just need you to be average. And when you're doing those kind of things, those kind of numbers that Eric is pointing out for me, that's average. Like, that's really all I need you to be. I don't need you to really do anything else. But if your offense and your clutch, because obviously he was top three in clutch.
Right.
So we know what he was doing for you guys, or I should say for us offensively. For me, that's what kind of gives him a C, in my opinion, because I can't downgrade somebody who was doing all of this in the year he was doing it with all the time he was getting to do this with the years that he has.
Fish saying in the comments, defense, schmiefense. If it's DeMar, he gets a pass. He held us up like Atlas. Mm. Great reference.
That's a bar.
I agree with both of you all on that. And, like, I gave him a harsher grade because of the reasons I laid out.
Sure.
I will also say, when it comes to grading DeMar the player, the portions of what go into his grade are weighted for me. I don't know about you, but like when you were in college and you're like, okay, the midterm, is worth this much percentage-wise of your final grade. Yeah. Your final exam is worth this percentage of your final grade. Your daily assignments collectively is worth this. Like, for me, it's like DeMar's offensive grade is worth 85% of his total grade.
Okay.
Defense, like, 15.
Agreed.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
And then you got to also talk about those meathead grades. Maybe the most important. I like how you just use a series of emojis.
Yeah.
We got high five. Is that a wave goodbye and a salute?
Yeah. Thank you. We'll see you later. That's how I took that one right there. Appreciate all you've done.
Thank you.
Good riddance.
Exactly, Dave. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being incredible professional. And honestly, like, one of the great Bulls of all time, honestly, in just 3 years. Like, he really had such an impactful career here. And it's not necessarily over yet, but to me, and we can talk about the free agency and the direction of the team all we want, but like it was great, but we'll see you later and we salute you on the way out because it's time to move forward and move on with this franchise.
Yeah.
I dig it. Can you throw that back up, Sarah? I want to guess what Dave's is.
Sure.
Okay. Are the last three letters DeMar freaking DeRozan?
Correct.
Okay. Now, what does IMH stand for?
Take your time.
I'll miss having.
Ooh, that's a great guess.
Really good. That's really good.
Is that not it?
That's not it. But that's really awesome. And honestly, honest. Like, honestly, honest, Will, like, because I'm with you.
I figured out the DFD was DeMar freaking DeRozan, I think my first guess when I thought earlier today was I might have died for DeRozan. Like, as in, like, I would take a bullet for DeRozan.
I like that, too. But I like that, too.
I'm stumped on what the IMH stands for.
It's simple. It's, he's DeMar freaking DeRozan.
That's good.
That's what it is. It's like... I mean, he's DeMar. Like, this is all he's done every year since he's been here. It's be awesome. One of the best Bulls players we've seen, you know, come over in a trade or put on that uniform. From top to bottom, that on the court and off the court, you can't ask for somebody better than DeMar DeRozan. Will tell you about it because he told us about it just as far as his engagement with the media and how important that is to him. And he never shuns from anything, and he's always pretty forward and honest about those things. So... And what he's done for the young players, as far as Daylon Terry and Patrick Williams and those kind of, and Kobe White, for God's sakes, what he's done for those guys, man, like he's just really been embraced by this city, and he's been really embraced by everybody around him, and he deserves it because he's DeMar freaking DeRozan, man. Like he's just been great for the Chicago Bulls. But yes, I wish him well on his journey because I think it needs to continue somewhere else. But he's been absolutely amazing. Everything you wanted him to be, he's been that and more since the Bulls have signed him.
I think that's true. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you should sign him to another contract because of all of that.
It does not mean that at all.
But all of those things you just said are 100%
yeah,
true.
Yeah. All right, let's get some Matt's. Like, that one is up there right there. Oh, man.
A hint would be what I just said about it doesn't necessarily mean you offer him another contract because of everything he has proven and accomplished. Oh,
that is a pick. Go take a crack at it, Will. You want a crack?
Yeah, I'm stumped. I mean, I feel like I understand the sentiment, but
it's a tough series of letters.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt. What we got?
A lot of letters.
I just went with the classic breakup trope. It's not you, it's us. Let's be friends. It's not DeMar's fault that the Bulls are a broken shit show of an organization and listless, even with as brilliant as he's been. Mm. It's time to break up. It's not DeMar's fault that it's time to break up.
No, it's not. It's not. He didn't have the things around him to have a better relationship. It's not you. It's us. He's right. That's dead on, man. Thank you for your service. We can roll, bro.
And it's sincere.
Yes, Will.
It's sincere as opposed to the times where you say that, but you don't mean it.
Yeah.
Because you're really thinking context, or I mean subtext, it's not me, it's you.
Right.
And I'm thinking you.
And sometimes it's just you. But no, we really mean it in this.
We really mean it when we say, DeMar, it's not you, it's us.
He's been amazing, man.
All right, let's take a break, and then we will come back with a couple thoughts on what happens now for DeMar. There was a little bit more intel on that just the other day. While we are sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do. Hit that like if you didn't do it the first time around. Now's your chance. Big Dave, who's next?
Beer.
Oh, need
it. Sarah's favorite.
Love it.
She loves it. She's got to have it. Because she's very stressed in her day. Producing, living.
Woman works hard.
Baking, getting everything together. She does a lot, all right? For a young person, she does a ton. She does not waste her youth.
Mm-mm.
Her youth is not wasted on her. But she does deserve to chill.
Absolutely.
She deserves to relax. And the way she does that is by grabbing a cold lager, cord-filtered, Coors Light. Because there are plenty of chances in life to make things better by choosing chill. Grab every opportunity to choose chill, then reach for a cold, refreshing Coors Light. Because when those mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lager, cold filter, and a cold package for a smooth finish. When you embrace a chill mindset, it's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. So make the most out of the times you choose to chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door via Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Coors Light. Find your chill.
Find your chill.
Find it.
After you find that chill,
yes,
maybe you might be asking yourself if you're in the market for a new vehicle.
I was just thinking.
So you can transport all of that chill.
Yes.
To a tailgate, to whatever summer camping, you know, activities you got planned.
Well, who can help me with this, man?
Weekend at the cottage. Let me tell you who can help you with that.
Please.
Who can help all y'all out there at Bulls Nation. One of Big Dave's newest dear friends.
Amen.
Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Oh
my God.
They are celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long, y'all. And you know what that means? You'll be able to rave about all of the savings you got on a wide selection of their inventory to all of your friends and family.
All of them.
For a limited time, you can lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for just $439 a month.
Shut your face.
For, get this, 39 months.
What?
That's 3 years.
That's
a Vooch contract and then some. If that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for, you guessed it, 39 months.
Boom.
Seriously, guys, can pricing get any more affordable?
I would say a no.
Can LeBron and the Lakers be any more eliminated right now?
I would say a no.
A no! But that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO Bulls at their service center or mention CHGO Bulls when you book online.
Online.
At RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 30th. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you've got to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Brand because they are the only team that we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com. Serving the community.
Since when?
Since 1963.
See, Will, this is what happens when you're not here, Will. You got to balance this out. You can't leave me and Matt alone, though.
That sounded like a Home Improvement Tim Allen.
Say it again, Will.
I said it was the Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it was like a blend of Tim Allen and Scooby-Doo. Which, by the way, where's that movie?
Yeah, seriously.
We need a blend of Scooby-Doo,
Santa Claus,
and Toy Story.
Oh, my God. Ideas flowing.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, DeMar DeRozan.
Yes, talking the greatness of DeMar.
All right, guys, in case you missed it, interesting little tidbit from Joe Cowley's latest, and it was actually a column about the separation of the Bulls and longtime training staff man Chip Schaefer.
Okay.
The Bulls will begin looking, making changes to their roster in May. That's really where the focus should start. Mm-hmm. Sometimes and other media outlets have reported that the Bulls' top offseason priority will be to rid themselves of the rest of Zach's contract to find common ground on an extension for forward DeMar DeRozan. Mm. He also mentions growing speculations the Bulls might also explore a market for Vooch this summer, but mentioning it'll be difficult to find, difficult to move him because of the middle class contract, as Cowley called it, that Vooch is on. So the thing about DeMar and finding common ground in the extension, that's not necessarily new. But it is, I think, counterintuitive to what Bulls fans all heard AK say at his season-ending press conference, which is this team needs to make some serious changes because finally I am admitting to myself and to all of you that this roster ain't working. So maybe finding a trade partner for Zach LaVine in his eyes would be enough of significant changes to move forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know if most Bulls fans would buy that. Mm. And I think, as much as we all just gushed over how much we have appreciated these three seasons from DeMar, that trying to find common ground with him on a new contract for several years doesn't seem like the best path forward. What do you think, Will?
I 100% agree. I mean, you know, I want to give AK the benefit of the doubt when he says we need to make changes. that I want to win a championship, that he's willing to take the steps necessary to get to that point. But when stuff like this keeps coming out, it makes you wonder if the change that we're going to see is trading a guy who basically wasn't on the team last year, and hopefully you just get him off your books for nothing. And then what? So, you know, to me, like, DeMar is really, really good. And I think he, like, there's probably a narrative out there that he's not good enough to be on a championship team because of the way that he plays, the mid-range focus, all that stuff. I don't think that's true. I think with the right team around him, he could absolutely go be a champion. You know, he may have a chance to decide he wants to go do that this summer. But I think even like on a bigger, like with a bigger role on a team, it's not going to just be like go play for the vet minimum on the Clippers or something like that, where he has a chance to go win. Like, I think he can be a focal point on a team like that, just with how good he is. But the problem is that the rest of the team around him with the Bulls is so bad that he's only able to drag them into mediocre. And that's where they've been for the last 3 years. They've been mediocre. And it's really hard to break that cycle. And it's impossible to break that cycle if you're not willing to take a step out of that cycle. So yes, trading Zach would open up some cap space. Maybe you're able to go, you know, make a win now move to bring you to kind of like the upper middle class, you know, the high end of mediocre, but you're still within that standard deviation of mediocre. And that's, I think, where the Bulls are going to be until they make some really meaningful changes. And unfortunately, I do think that means DeMar. Like, they need to move on from him. If they do re-sign him, like, I've heard some things about 2 years, some things about 3 years, like, you're just going to be stuck in the middle as long as you have him, because he's so good that he's not going to let you go towards the bottom, which is where they need to go in order to get better luck with draft picks and start to accumulate assets. So, I, like I said, I really want to give AK the benefit of the doubt, but this kind of stuff scares me, and it reinforces this idea that, you know, is like, I think that keeping DeMar with the current roster, even if you're able to trade Zach and maybe bring in some help, like that is mutually exclusive with winning a championship. And so when you say both of those things, it's like, which do you really want? Which are you actually going after? And again, we're going to have to see. We will be here to criticize the decisions if we don't like them. We'll be here to praise them if we do. But this is the kind of stuff that gives me some worry about the direction of this team, because this is really a pivotal offseason. And I think they can choose to continue on this path that they're going, where they're going to be mediocre for a couple more years, for however long they keep DeMar under contract. And then after that, things start to get really bad because you've lost your ability to collect assets. Or you can go the other direction and start to collect those assets and get yourself back on track and actually be in okay shape. But that's a tough decision, and we'll just have to see if AK is up for it. But these reports about finding common ground with DeMar, like, 2 years timeline palatable, sure, but like, it just delays the inevitable, and they are going to need to go into a rebuild at some point. And the longer they wait, the harder it's going to get, the worse it's going to be, and the longer it's going to take.
Dave,
those are bars right there about the goat.
Bars.
Okay, so I think it's more so in DeMar's court than it is the front office's one. I had a better word than mad, because I'm not mad that the front office wants to do this, because they've constantly stated they love DeMar and they want to keep DeMar and they want to hand, but that's never been my MO. My MO is, I don't think DeMar wants to do it and wants to be here and wants to deal with that. And he emphasized that and reiterated my feelings when he said, I don't want to play like this again. I'm going into year 16, yeah. Bro.
The fact that he mentioned Father Time in his end of season interview.
Yes, he's going into year 16. So he wants to win now. It's about legacy for me. He could be, obviously he could tell you it's wrong. But looking at him, I feel like, Will, it's more about his legacy and comfort. Where he is right now in his career in year 16. He's got the money. He's made that. He's got the respect. The league loves him. He knows the Bulls loves him. He enjoys being here for that. If it was about the money, that 2-year $40 million offer that we heard about would have been signed.
2-year 80.
Sorry. You know what I mean.
Right.
Right. $40 million a year. Yes. But that would have been signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm yours. Shout out Stevie Wonder. That would have been done for. You know what I mean? But obviously, I feel like he wants a little bit more. He wants to know that the team that he's playing for is a team that's competing and trying to win a championship now, right now, what you can put together. I don't think the Bulls can put together a team that is going to be competing for a championship.
Not if they're paying DeMar $40 million.
Correct. Which is what I was about to say. Yes. If you're going to be giving him this money, it can't happen that way. It can't go down that way. So I don't think DeMar is going to be the one to be like, okay, guys, I want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll work with you. You know what I mean? And do things like that. I don't think he's going to be the one to do that, man. That's why I think he's going to be out of here and going to be gone. Those other teams are coming, okay? Lakers going out, those other teams going out is going to mean something. That desperation is going to increase in this offseason, man. It really is. It's going to increase for some of these teams, and they're going to want better basketball players.
DeMar can be the new number zero for the Lakers, you know, media day photo op with, you know, Operation 360 with LeBron and AD.
Correct. The new Russell Westbrook is what he means when he says that.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's better right now than Russell Westbrook, but it's just the fact that DeMar
Russ still in the playoffs
that.
Right now.
He is. He is. But it's the fact that he wants that. And also, I think we have to factor in the comfort. Does he want to be closer to home? Does he want to be more around his children? Does he want to his daughters to come see him play, especially daughters that are playing basketball right now? I'm sure it means something to him for them to come see him play and watch his game on a regular basis, because some of them, obviously, they can't. They're in school, you know what I mean, and doing things like that. So I feel like he's thinking more of a grown-up way, Will, as far as a father, as far as comfort, as far as legacy is concerned, because the money is there. He understands that. The money's going to be there, and that's just what it's going to be. But if this was Carmelo Anthony, I think I would agree with everything you were saying completely right there, because Melo obviously told you it's about this paper. I wanted to get this money, dog. DeMar, what he said in that offseason showed me, I want to win, dog. It ain't so much about this money for him.
We'll see if that's...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. But, you know, we've also seen guys like LeBron, for example, last night and last year be really noncommittal about their futures after a really tough loss, a season-ending loss. And so, you know, in those moments, I think that's true. You are thinking about that. You're thinking about, you know, the myth of Sisyphus and having to push that boulder up the hill again, which is what DeMar kind of referenced. But at the end of the day, I mean, if the Bulls are going to offer him $40 million, and that's real, and maybe you're right, Dave, that would have been signed if that was real, but it sounded like he was looking for 3 years. The Bulls were only willing to offer two. You know, the Bulls are going to have to overpay to keep him. Like, you are going to have to beat out the rest of the market if you want to retain this guy. And what does that mean for the rest of your cap building and for the team that you can put around DeMar? Because I think you're right, too. Like, DeMar doesn't want to just take the money and play for the play-in every year. Like, he also wants to compete. And so ultimately, he's going to have to weigh those things, and we can't sit here and speculate on what's more important to him. But I do think that the Bulls are going to come with a big offer because it's been reported that they have, and two, it just feels like maybe they're not as ready to make those big sweeping changes as we maybe thought after AK originally spoke at the end of season press conference. And yeah, I mean, I think an opportunity to be at home in LA, to win, to play for a championship caliber team, that stuff's going to matter. But is it worth $20 million a year difference between playing for the Lakers at $12 million on the mid-level exception versus $30, $35, $40 million for the Bulls? And I think that's going to have to be something that he has to weigh and decide, you know, are years and dollars more important to me than winning and competing at a high level?
Well, can I ask you if Toronto is a play for DeMar DeRozan financially?
Don't know what their cap situation is. I can look it up real quick, but I would imagine they are kind of going the other direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, they made trades this year to offload Pascal Siakam, to offload OG Anunoby. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to get draft picks. They're trying to stay in this draft. I think they're kind of in that rebuilding spot. So to me, like, it's going to be your 76ers who have cap space. It's going to be the Lakers who can always make something happen. If Paul George ends up leaving the Clippers and going to the 76ers, then there's an opening with the Clippers. I think there's going to be kind of more of those older teams that are kind of very much win now oriented that are going to be more in play for a guy like DeMar, as opposed to, you know, a younger team, even like the Magic or something. Like, I feel like they could really use a guy like DeMar, and like the idea of DeMar mentoring Paolo Banchero makes a lot of sense to me.
Right.
But to me, I feel like he's going to be kind of more geared towards one of those older win now at a high level teams.
If the Raptors had started their rebuild a couple of years earlier and already had a nice collection of young talent right now, I could see the DeMar thing being like something. It's the same way that people are talking about Durant going back to OKC with this young core of rising stars right now, and be like, "Hey, I'm the old vet. My career blossomed into what it is. Starting here, never quite won a chip here." So you like the DeMar returning to Toronto thing, the same way that LeBron returns to Cleveland, gives them the ring that he fell short of doing the first time, because and people are only talking about that because KD's Suns just got swept, and they're like, okay, if Ishbia and the Suns actually need to drastically change this roster instead of just, you know, using Vogel as a fall guy and running this same shit back, the one of the very few options they have is actually moving KD.
Yeah.
And people are talking about, yo, KD back to OKC, which would be crazy. I don't think that the Raptors are ready to do something similar with DeMar.
I think, and the Heat, too. I think KD to the Heat might be an option
as well.
Well,
we know they're talking to every star this summer.
They coming at. But the only reason I brought up the Raptors is because I'm like, if he wants to really talk about winning, I'm just looking at the East. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, going to the East and being an Eastern Conference team that you can compete with and then get to the playoffs and see what can happen, because we're watching the East right now. We're seeing what can happen, dog. It's a little it's a little easier to get to that top in the East or compete for that title than it has been of what we're seeing in the West.
Yeah, and I feel like that's why Philly makes a lot of sense to me. Like, you know, they are a team where you've got a superstar player who has serious injury concerns every single year. And that's just gonna be a part of the Joel Embiid experience from now on. DeMar is a guy that can bring your floor up to 500 every single year, no matter who's around him. Like, that's how good he is. He will keep your team afloat. And they completely fell apart without Embiid this year. I think they need a guy like that. Kyle Lowry played there. That's his hometown. Maybe they do a little reunion. Philly's got cap space. They're going to be able to go out and make a big signing this year. And I think a guy like DeMar for 1 year, or, you know, a max contract on 1 year or a year plus a team option, that allows them to get back into the free agency game next year and kind of kick the can down the road if there's nobody there that they really feel like they can, you know, take a big full 4-year, 5-year max on. So, you know, the big thing for me is going to be, does DeMar make it past the extension deadline? Does he extend with the Bulls the way that Vooch did before June 30th? Or does he wait to get into unrestricted free agency and start to see what some of these other situations are going to look like as other dominoes fall? And I think that deadline is going to be really interesting because the Bulls are going to have to come with a huge offer to get him to sign and avoid free agency.
Yeah. Real quick, shout out to Eric in the comments who said, I would love it for DeMar to come back and be sort of the Udonis Haslam of the young guys, but the version that actually plays. He's a build-the-culture type of guy. And to that end, our pal Parra Jr. in the comments pointing out the, you know, whole DeMar going to Io's Illini jersey retirement night. And then one of many examples, the way that he's taken Dalen Terry under his wing and all that. Like, that absolutely is a role that DeMar DeRozan has thrived in with some of the younger players in Chicago. I don't know if he wants to be that culture guy in this city, in this franchise long term.
Agreed.
On some of the things he said as he was making his way out of.
Let's think about this element of it too, which is that the Bulls owe their first round pick next year to the Spurs, top 10 protected. Yeah. So are you going to make a trade for Alex Caruso finally and start to accumulate some assets, but still bring DeRozan back and then give the Spurs the 11th pick next year? Like, I do think the Bulls have to, I don't see them getting out of the like 11 to 15 range if they keep it together. And I also don't see them getting below that if they keep DeMar and make other moves. So I think keeping that pick this year should be a priority. We'll see if it actually is. Obviously with that Magic pick that was top 4 protected last year, the Bulls did not orient towards that when they had the opportunity to at the trade deadline. They could have given themselves a chance to get into the top 4 of that lottery, maybe get Victor Wembanyama and maybe keep their own pick. Instead, they obviously went for it. And a top 10 protected pick is a lot easier to retain than a top 4 protected pick. So that's another big question as far as what direction are the Bulls deciding to go with here, because that pick is going to be a huge deal. I mean, this draft class in 2024, not very talented. 2025 draft, extremely talented, extremely top heavy. And so keeping your pick in that, you know, that could really change the fortunes of the franchise if they're able to get a little bit lucky.
All right, guys, we're almost out of time, but real quick, just touching on the playoff action from last night. Celtics take a 3-1 lead over the Heat. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. Shout out to Derek White. Also shout out to our pal Joey, whose prize picks he said more than on Derek White points last night. Yeah. I nudged him in that direction.
We all did.
But 38 points, career high.
Yep.
Much more than the prize picks number that was set. No,
he hit it in the first quarter.
Yeah. There was an update earlier today. Speaking of that series, Kristaps Porzingis not expected to play in game 5.
Fair.
With the injury that he left that game with.
Calf strain.
Thunder sweep Pelicans. I believe we all had that.
Yeah, we did.
Kudos to the youngest team in NBA history when you talk about their average age to win a playoff series.
23. The Saras. Oklahoma City Saras.
Only one bucket scored by the Thunder in that 4-game sweep of anyone over the age of 25.
Wow.
I saw that stat on Twitter last night.
It's impressive.
That is insane.
Shout out to him, man.
Also taking care of business in 5, shout out to our friends over at DMVR. The Denver Nuggets dispatched LeBron, AD, and the Lakers. 108-106 was the final.
What a game.
Jamal Murray, game winner again. Just like game 2. Jamal Murray posterized LeBron and stole his children. Wow.
First time that a game winner has been hit twice in an NBA playoff series.
By the same player?
By the same player. It's never happened before.
Go, what's your biggest takeaway of that Nuggets 4-1 taking care of business over the Lakers?
I said this on the Circa Swim, Stadium Swim area last summer when we were doing our show, crossover with DNVR and PHNX, and they were asking me, you know, between the Nuggets and the Suns, who's going to be more dangerous, who has a better shot at winning the title? And I said, the Nuggets, because Jokic and Murray are the most unguardable action in the entire NBA. Yeah. That is unstoppable. And it's because Jamal Murray is such a killer in the clutch. And the way that he played, obviously Jokic is going to be able to get his, the way he manipulates the defense with passing and just his post-up finishing and his little like hook shot, flip shot thing is just crazy. It goes in every single freaking time. But if Jamal Murray is going to make pull-up jump shots like that from, you know, short mid-range to deep mid-range to above the break, you just can't beat them. They're just going to get a good basket, good look at the basket every single time. And until somebody can figure them out, I don't know how you stop them. I don't know how you beat them.
And shout out to Murray, who it was very touch and go if he was going to play.
Yeah.
But he said there was no way I was missing this game.
You could also even see he was kind of favoring that leg throughout that game, much the same way we've seen Luka, you know, kind of grit through and play through this Mavs-Clippers series. Oh. Windhorst on Get Up this morning, in case you missed it, quote, I think LeBron intends to opt out of his contract and become a free agent for the first time since 2018, which goes right in line with LeBron's answer to a question last night at the podium. Was this your last game as a Laker? And he said, quote, I'm not going to answer that.
He's coming to the East, man. He's coming to the East. It's a better opportunity for him to get his ring.
Where's Bronny going? Did you see there's also a report from some anonymous source that the Lakers are open to drafting Bronny Jr. after they got bounced
Don't
in 5.
Leave.
And here's the thing. Everyone obviously so hyped about Nuggets, T-Wolves conference semis.
Sure.
That could be a conference finals kind of series between those two teams.
I'm so excited.
Everyone's saying, dude, this young upstart led by Ant T-Wolves team present matchup problems for the Nuggets. They could legit win this series against the Nuggets.
They could.
Who people still say, hey, they're defending champs. I will say this. The Nuggets looked flawed in that they won in 5 games, but they trailed at halftime in every one of those games.
They did.
I think that the Nuggets played at a C-minus level that series against L.A.
Oh, I completely agree. They showed that they did, and they played like a team who was like, we're better than you anyway.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go ahead and pull this out. But they missed a lot of shots and missed a lot of opportunities. They didn't dominate them, but I think they'll be different in round 2 with some rest.
Yeah.
I think they'll be a little different, Will.
And, you know, I mentioned the pick and roll with Jokic and Murray. Like, maybe throwing Jaden McDaniels on Jamal Murray is how you kind of put him in a tough spot. And now you force Jokic to be the scorer, or at least to, you know, try to create something by himself in that situation. And then you've got Kat and you've got Gobert to clog up the paint and to make life difficult. So I do think this matchup is a little bit more difficult for the Nuggets. The Wolves are just really good. Like, I don't know how else to say it. They're extremely talented. They're giant. Anthony Edwards is a killer. That is going to be an incredibly fun series. Whoever comes out of the Clippers and Mavs series is going to be a great series against the Thunder. Like, the West is just so stacked, so talented. And it feels like any of those series could be conference finals, like you guys said. So I'm so excited as these playoffs advance to just see, because now it's about chess and now it's about the adjustments and the counters and trying to figure each other out. And that's where it gets really exciting.
So true.
Some play chess. Mm-hmm. Some play chutes and ladders. Some play chutes and shoots.
Shout out, Zion.
Shout out, Zion. All right, guys, real quick. 3-game slate tonight in the NBA playoffs. Sixers and Knicks. Do the Sixers survive or do the Knicks end it? I'm gonna say Sixers survive.
I'm gonna say Sixers survive because I just don't want to give the Knicks any kind of credit.
I took Knicks and six out of the gate. I'm gonna stick with it. Go. Yeah.
I'm just going with the Knicks. I just think it's the Knicks. I don't know why.
You're probably right. I just don't want to say it, Will.
Magic Cavs, series tied 2-2. All home wins. Ooh. Two for each squad. I'm going Orlando tonight. I think this fake ass Cavs team is shook. Mm. And I think that they're going to lose in six after having a 2-0 lead, just like the way that they tucked their tail between their legs in their first round loss last season.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to it.
All right.
I said Magic in six. I'm sticking with it.
Congratulations on that. I'm going Cavs.
I'm going Magic too. The Cavs look like they're defeated. They look like they're done playing basketball this year.
And that will bode well for free agent for offseason because Donovan Mitchell.
And the 8:30 Central tip, Bucks, Pacers. Do the Bucks survive or do the Pacers end it?
Oh, I mean, both your T guys are out. If both of them are out, this series is over.
Yeah, no Giannis, no Dame.
I originally said Pacers in six, mm-hmm. but if I had to put money on it, I'd say Pacers close it out tonight.
Okay.
That's it. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us today. Hit that like button on your way out if you didn't do it yet. We appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. If you're listening on your preferred podcast app or streaming service, do us a favor. Leave a rate and review there. We appreciate those as well. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 p.m. Central with another live show. Goat will try to not accidentally lock his better half out of their house tomorrow so he can be here in studio.
That's right.
In the meantime, follow him, Will_Gottlieb. Read us off allcho.com. Big Day Bow, BWL Sports. Our friend and producer, on the controls, Sarah. Sarah, pleasure as always.
Thanks.
Shout out Mama Sarah.
Oof.
She's cooking a good meal tonight, by the way.
Ooh, what's she cooking?
She's cooking a good meal.
It's my brother's birthday tonight, so that's actually why I'm producing you guys, so I can get out early tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Well, tell bro we said happy birthday.
Yeah, he's 26 today.
Oh.
Still youngling.
Oh.
You can rent a car. Shout out.
Spring chicken.
Yeah, man.
We are CHO_Bulls. We appreciate y'all, Bulls Nation. We will talk to you tomorrow. Marco, shout out, buddy. See Red. Be good.
Peace.
All silly like the mayor.